Brand new this week at PodcastOne.com, PO'd with Dennis Miller and Adam Carolla.
Awesome!
The king of all podcasts, Adam Carolla, joins forces with iconoclastic comic legend Dennis Miller.
If you're asking me whose voice most closely mirrors what's in my head, it's this cat.
Great guests, great topics, and new listeners, always welcome.
So get PO'd now. I mean, download the show now.
Always available 24/7 at PodcastOne.com.
That's PodcastOne.com.
Buying a car can be a stressful experience, but TrueCar is changing car buying forever. Every day, TrueCar.com users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Some features not available in all states. In the first 6 months of this year, over 275,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three steps. Go to TrueCar.com, find out what other people paid for the car you're looking for, then register at TrueCar.com to see the upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. And the third step is simple. Just print out your TrueCar savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Every day, TrueCar.com users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.
This is Corolla Digital. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Hey, this is Dr. Drew. Adam is stuck in traffic, quite literally, and so we thought we'd just kind of get started here. So I'll get out some of the business out of the way. Be sure to see Adam at the Irvine Improv February 12th. Be sure to see – oh, is he going to be at the Ice House February 24th? Are you doing a podcast there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, come, I have to be at that, right? Oh, Tuesday, February 28th, 8 p.m. Yeah, I can be at that. Let's do that. Let me factor that one in. Right. I think, although I've got a bunch of just shitty travel coming up in February, and God only knows. Be sure to support this show you can click through at the Amazon banner at AdamAndDrDrewShow.com. Help us get back to zero.
Also, while you're at the website, check out these new mugs that we just released, the Adam and Dr. Drew Show mugs. It has your face and Adam's face on it.
Is it a cartoon thing?
Yeah, the coffee mugs of kind of like your silhouettes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Very Alan.
I want to do the one where we have the little hair pieces.
That's what it is.
Fantastic.
AdamAndDrDrewShow.com. It's right there on the site.
It's sort of, you know how Conan has those things with his hair piece. Well, we've got one with the white hair piece and the black, or he's got black, right? Hair.
Yeah. Well, this one,
and he's got eyebrows.
You're both. It's both black, but it's kind of like a Jekyll Hyde thing. One face is on one side, and the other one's on the other. So whatever you're feeling that day,
I gotta see it. Where you should put a picture.
Yeah, we'll
up
put
here.
A picture up. On
yeah,
it.
Thank you. Of course, PayPal button. Good juju, as Adam says. I will be. This is a crazy thing I'm doing. You'll dig this, Adam. I'm doing an improv date January 31st with Mike Carano.
Heard about that.
Mike and I have this very bizarre relationship, and we're
top and bottom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not bizarre. I mean, that's what I was saying. That's the fitted part.
No,
that's
it's
the normal
bizarre
part.
For your wife and the listeners.
Well, it's a little uncomfortable.
Bizarre.
I'm not bizarre. How dare you, by the way? Oh, look at that. That's awesome. That is awesome. I love that. Those are the mugs that we've got coming out right now.
Yeah.
We are on either side of the cup, I imagine. Those are
right,
two different cups.
Right, that is one mug.
It's really cool. Sides. Our mugs are on the mugs, but not really.
It's very cool. We always thought that it'd be just – we do good podcasts together, so it'd be interesting to go out and try to do something for an audience. And I said, well, what do you want to do? And he goes, I want to talk about the 70s.
Right.
I said, fantastic. Because he loved the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's generated an interesting conversation. One of the things that kind of popped out was whether or not just being an adolescent, because you feel so shitty from about 12 to 20, whether whatever decade you're in, you're going to hate it. You know what I'm saying? But the 70s were particularly onerous. I said, no, it's more that you're like absorbing what's going on in the culture when you're that age. And we were just absorbing dog shit for 9-10 years, you know?
Well, it's hard to tell because I saw life through the shit-smeared colored glasses that my mom wore.
But they were a reflection of the time, in my opinion.
See, it's interesting, and so it can't. My children cannot be influenced by me the way my parents influenced me, or the way your parents influenced you, because they own a tablet and it's filled with Katy Perry.
Yeah, yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's a world that you can access to escape.
Right. So they have a 60-inch television with Disney products streaming on it that aren't a full-blown bummer talking about, you know, the world coming to an end.
Which is all we saw on media. Just if there was a television, which is, by the way, at best a Sony Trinitron, 7 inches, you know, 22 inches across.
At best.
At best. And that's the best. Literally the best.
Well, also, I wonder, and here's another problem. I wonder if people, see, my kids were born in 2006. They're not going to see 3,000. It's unlikely. There's going to be advances in medicine and technology, but it's unlikely that they're going to see 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
We were children, and it's been a march toward 2,000.
Yeah.
And because we're fucking retarded natives, superstitious retarded natives.
Monkeys that talk.
We believe that there's a huge chasm and a huge difference from a historical standpoint, technology standpoint, and societal standpoint between 1999 and 2000. The 5 years between 1995 and 2000 is not the same 5 years between 1955 and 1960.
No, those magical years.
These are magical years.
When we subdue gravity.
Right, right. So that train travels both directions. So it's a lot of talk in the 80s of by the year 2000, you know, you're going to be able to get from L.A. to New York in less than a hummingbird's heartbeat. And then there's a lot of talk about we're all going to be living underground because the ozone will be destroyed and we won't be able to see. It's happy talk.
Right.
It's cataclysmic talk. It's basically every futuristic movie is some people happy living in their pristine environment. The other people are living underground, fighting it out, you know, with the whole. All right. So there's that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you were unfortunate enough to be born in a time where you're marching toward one of the 3,000s, 2,000s,
yeah.
You know, I would imagine that the people in unfortunate enough to be born in 975 had the same thing with, 1900 and whatever, or 1800, right? Anytime you're coming across where it's going to be 1,000,
yeah,
2,000, 3,000, yeah.
To argue, though.
You're fucked. There's a lot of, well, first off, in the past, they didn't even have good movies. Like, when they got to 1,000, there couldn't be a bunch of futuristic movies, but there's a bunch of.
They got to 1,000, most people didn't know what numbers were.
Okay.
To be fair.
There was a bunch of, so we had to deal our whole life with a lot of, by the year 2000.
Yeah.
We'll be out of drinkable water.
Yeah.
We'll be out of fuel. We'll suck the earth dry of oil. We'll have no fuel. Well, the soil will be all destroyed. Every river will be polluted. And I'm sitting around the whole time, and I remember doing this in the back of my mom's VW Squareback, just thinking to myself, shit, I'm going to be 34. We'll have no fuel? We'll have no air.
Yeah, why bother?
All the water, every river will just have fish floating in it.
But you're saying this as though you were a particular youth that absorbed that. I would argue that was the ambient feeling in this country. First of all, it was very Western-centric. Like, we didn't give a shit what the underdeveloped countries were doing. We were going to be out of fuel.
Yes.
And the world was coming to an end for us, the U.S.
Right.
And that's all that mattered. But it was coming to an end, everybody. Get ready.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. So, it was, and there was a, a depression and a malaise that sort of hung in the air. And if you don't believe me, if you take a look at movies from the 50s and then up even in the 60s, they were in Technicolor.
Yeah.
They were very
vivid.
Even take a look at The Wizard of Oz or West Side Story or something. Things were very vivid, colorful.
Yeah.
And they popped off the screen. You go into the 70s, you start getting into like Deer Hunter.
Brown. You had Butch Cassidy.
Everything was orange and brown and muted.
Yeah.
And it was like dark and subdued.
Yeah.
And ominous.
Shit stained.
Shit stained glasses. Yeah. Now, I don't.
Let me just finish, though. That's January 31st at the Hollywood Improv. Please come join us. We need Chris, Gary. Gary's coming? Chris? Okay, good. Excellent. And we're gonna bring up – and it's – well, I think this audience will like it because we're going to pull up tons and tons and tons of examples of the shit Adam and I talk about all the time. We're going to show you the shitty architecture. We're going to show you the shitty movies. We're going to show you the shitty cars, and he's going to try to defend that.
Well, also, there was no reverence for the past. It was
oh my God.
Mow down all
– That was the worst. People don't understand. That was the worst of all. We destroyed – I case one, Penn Station.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is a shining example.
In New York.
Yeah, that used to be like Grand Central Station.
Right.
And they just fucking nuked it and built the gardens underneath it and put a fucking piece of shit on it. Have you walked in Penn Station? It's
well,
awful.
I'll tell you, for me as a builder, every cool, like I'll give you an example. If you go to the west side of Los Angeles and you go where all, you know, they have all those Spanish style duplexes.
Yes.
Really cool. Super expensive rent, but
sort of like Melrose Place. If people
think
would know
Melrose
that.
Place, yeah, think Melrose Place. Yeah. You go in there; they have a great fireplace and hardwood floors, and big openings and thick walls, and a really nice tile and stuff like that. And then you go into the kitchen. Well, the kitchen had to be redone in 1974.
Yeah,
the reason it had to be redone in 1974 is the building was built in 1933.
Yeah,
so the you know,
it was time.
The thing about a bedroom, a den, a living room, they don't really wear out.
Yeah.
Now, you'll see, if you look down, all the little mini holes where the tack strip was put because they did put shag carpet in there.
Over the hardwood floor.
Over the beautiful hardwood floor. And then at some point, we sobered up and ripped up the shitty green carpet, sanded it, and whatever. But they can't sand out all those holes. You look around the perimeter.
Yeah.
The thresholds and things like that. You'll see the tack strip was
put
down.
Just know some douchebag with a mustache lived here.
But the point is they went to the kitchen. They redid the kitchen in 1974, and they did it with the burnt orange and
avocado,
and they ripped up all the great authentic tile flooring,
and they
put down a bunch of linoleum, and that's what we did.
Yeah.
And now...
And even the cabinets were like sort of...
Everything was fake wood grain. Picture the Brady Bunch kitchen.
Yeah.
But picture the Brady Bunch kitchen in a beautiful Spanish building from the 30s.
Well,
your
home in Lake Hollywood was the most shining example of all that. I mean, you had to take a toothbrush and toothpicks out to dig out the cottage cheese and paint, layers of paint over beautiful woodwork.
And
right?
Oh, listen, I had a beautiful Batch Elder fireplace that was painted over with, like, Sears Easy Living.
What? In that house?
Or no. The first house I got, the fireplace was Batch Elder.
Oh, my
talked about
God.
That before, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just
a beautiful tile in Southern California.
And not only is it a beautiful artisan tile that's put in, like, craftsman-style houses, but... They're worth a fortune.
Each tile is worth a fortune, yeah.
And this one was, by Batch Elder standards, you know, extravagant. It wasn't a plain Jane, kind of, you know, big, thick, the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It had about 20 coats of Sears Easy Living. The fireplace
is
on
is.
The left.
There
and the reason you don't recognize it from that house is I took it out of my other house and I took it with me.
Yeah, yeah, you put it over there.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a beautiful fireplace. And that just had white paint on it.
Oh, completely. I remember putting it up. I put up the centerpiece. You can go online. And look, I remember very well holding up the centerpiece with my head while I was buttering it up on a Saturday when I took it out of one house and reinstalled it in another house, which is amazingly painstaking.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult because you have to take it all out with a diamond blade and a right angle grinder, so whatever.
Without cracking
it. I remember it was Saturday. It was about 1 o'clock, and Lynette walked in the front door, which is basically, if you see a picture of me, it's where I'm looking right now. I was holding the centerpiece up with, like, my head.
Yeah.
Trying, I buttered up the back of it with thinset, and I was trying to finish it off. And her and the kids walked in, and she walked in, and she went, "Are you still working on that fireplace?" And she was with a certain amount of disgust, and then walked into the kitchen. And I went, like, wow. Wow.
Oh, shit.
Wow. That's just a fireplace. Okay.
She put the keys on the hook by the door. Just as an homage to you.
A certain amount of disdain. Yes, I'm home this weekend from the road, and I'm installing a fireplace in your house.
Well,
okay.
It's funny.
By the way, I want to say this to my wife and everyone else who attempts to do that to me. I will never internalize your tone. There's not a moment where I ever go, oh, shit, I think he or she is pissed off over this non-issue, over this I'm working on a fucking fireplace. Like, not, it doesn't matter what your tone is. I will never, ever, ever go, oh, shit, I think she's pissed.
Yeah.
My attitude will only be, fuck her, fuck that. She doesn't appreciate, he doesn't appreciate. I do not have a gear that I go into where I am doing something for somebody or the family or the house or whatever, where I think to myself, Drew does, by the way.
I know.
Drew possesses
that gear.
I do not have a gear.
Yeah.
Where I go, oh shit, I think she's pissed. I don't do that. All I think is, wow, you don't appreciate this? Yeah. Fuck you. I don't, not for a second do I have that. It's only fuck off.
So as it pertains to the end of the world, I was just thinking about something. You know, we in the 70s were just indoctrinated with this idea that it's robots and it's wasteland, ecological disasters and robots taking over and this kind of stuff. But I do a podcast. I just did another one the other day with Duncan Trussell. It's a very popular podcast. Really interesting guy. And he and I were it turned out we did the whole podcast. His fucking machine didn't turn on. So, but it was okay because I liked the guy so much. It was just a great conversation. So we're going to go do another one. But we got into a big conversation about virtual reality. And we're going to do the next one where he's going to take me into a virtual reality place. You put that shit on. And he says, it's insane. You actually, when you take it off, and Jordan, my son, said the same thing. He wore one of those Oculus things. And when you take it off, your brain can't do it. You can't go from, it's so real that when you're back in the Corolla studio and after you take the Oculus, your brain can't adjust. You're like too rapid an adjustment. Anyway, he was saying, I go, you know, when porn gets their hands on this, that is how society is going to come to an end.
Right.
And he said, oh, no, they got it. He goes, I've worn it. And he goes, you sit there and a girl comes in and has sex on. You don't see your penis, but you see somebody's in it. And he says she looks at you like she loves you, and you feel like you're in love with this girl who is on your trance, and you're there.
Wow.
And I thought, okay, well, that's it. That's the end. That is where society grinds to a halt. Look at Chris. He's like, yeah, I can't wait.
No,
happily grind to a halt.
He's not saying can't wait. He's saying, I've been to the porn hubs and tried those things out.
Oh, you have?
I just smushed my face onto the computer screen.
But that's your version of that. Okay. Imagine when she comes in the room and you really think she's there. It's crazy.
Yeah, you know, we got your phone calls lined up, so we'll hop there in a second. I am so tactile. I don't have that relationship with technology.
Well, what if they can put something on you and all this shit?
Here's my whole thing. I want to build shit and fix shit and drive shit.
Yeah.
I want to smell it and feel it.
They may be able to get some.
I know.
I'm not going.
I'm not interested. I am really not interested in any simulations. It's a weird thing.
You've had a long and rich relationship with porn.
I like porn, but I do not like... Well, first off, there are two types of porn viewers, and I would like to get to the fucking bottom of this, because there's a lot of guys that watch porn that insert themselves into the porn.
Right. I think that's a common thing.
I think it's a common thing, too. I do not. I just watch porn. I'm not in the porn.
So here's an interesting twist on that. Does that mean you're more prone to sort of liking lesbian porn because you don't have to have a penis in the scene that you're imagining is yours?
No.
You just like all of it.
I'm not a huge fan of lesbian porn.
See, but to me, that seems like you should be if you're not imagining a male in
the
scene.
I don't fantasize that I am the guy who's in that movie. I simply look at the movie.
I get it.
So I would have no problem. Like if you saw the cameraman standing there or the key grip walking through the thing, it's not breaking down the fourth wall. Right. For me, it's a porn movie. Yeah. It's been shot. I have nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Simply look at it. And I wonder what percentage of guys.
The study not been done as far as I know, but it would be interesting what it means too.
I don't know. Gary, Chris, now you got to run around the shop and figure out. I literally just watch porn and think about, geez, I wonder where they shot this. I wonder what's going on, like what was going on behind the scenes.
You're actually thinking that every time you watch porn?
No, but I think to myself, like, where do these people come from? Where do they shoot this porn?
How do you get engaged with it if you're having those kinds of
naked people having sex? That's like enough for me.
Hey, as an aside, the one thing you will not be doing with the virtual young lady is going to thebooks.com.
You don't need to buy her flowers.
You don't need those beautiful, modern, rustic bouquets. But for the real lady, you need these flowers that are cut the day you order them. So the sooner you get them to you sooner and they last longer. They're grown in a mineral-rich soil on the side of an active volcano. They're shipped direct from Ecuador. Of course, that's closer to the equator, so there's more sun, more energy.
It's called Ecuador.
That's right. It's actually right there in the name of the country.
In the name of the
Ecuador.
Country.
Ecuador.
That's right.
Sustainable, eco-friendly farms. You can feel good about shopping at the Books. Flat pricing. No upsells. No hidden costs. Always free shipping. The picture you see on the website is exactly what it looks like when they send them to you. So not to really start thinking about Valentine's Day, everybody. 15% off. Visit the Books, TheBooks. BOUQS.com. Use the promo code Drew Adam. One word, Drew Adam. The deal expires January 27th. You want to get that order in early for Valentine's Day? That's thebooks.com. Promo code Drew Adam.
All right. Weird thing. And I'll tell you another thing.
Mm.
Then we'll talk to Larry from Vegas. I don't like video games. I don't want to play video games. I'm not interested in video games. Don't give a shit how good they are or how entertaining they are. When somebody says, oh, no, but this one is killer. This one is really good. Yeah. Bigger waste of my time. Right. What if I like it?
I agree.
No fucking reason to be there.
Yeah.
But I also find myself attracted to I was watching Birdman, and I found myself like sort of halfway into it going, this is a really artistic piece with really great performances, and I don't give a fuck. There's nothing going on here for me. We're not getting anywhere. We're not doing anything.
Because it's about actors you couldn't relate?
We're just kind of going in a circle, and then I find myself switching over and watching Master and Commander with Russell Crowe, and I go, now we're going somewhere.
Mm.
Now I got something to hang my hat on.
Yeah, yeah.
This is something that happened.
Yeah.
These were conversations that have been had.
Yeah, it's history.
I'm learning something here. Yeah. We're sailing forward, like literally, versus walking in a circle in the same theater, and where you're supposed to appreciate the artistry.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I wonder probably the same group who could appreciate the masters versus modern art, where I just sort of see it and I go, that doesn't mean anything to me. It doesn't look like anything.
Perhaps,
I'm not appreciating it. All right.
Well, one quick thing.
Yes.
When did, in addition to the carpeting and the cottage cheese, when did the aluminum window come into the action? And what the fuck was with that?
Certainly
that didn't happen in the East because he couldn't keep the cold out with that shit.
The cottage cheese is the acoustic stuff that's put on the ceiling. The aluminum windows came in with anything but wood. You know?
Why was that?
Well, because wood was old.
Yeah.
and wood was wood represented not the space age or the future.
Right, sort of history.
So everything in the kitchen, if it was wood, it had to have a covering on it. So it had to have a laminate.
A plastic
on
covering.
It. Yeah. So the countertops were plastic.
Yeah.
The floors were linoleum. There was fake wood veneer.
Yeah.
On the thing, but it was
particle
plastic.
Board, though.
Yes, yeah. It was plastic. Everything was sort of space age.
Did we just buy into that? We just bought into that wood was no. I mean, was it like builders were like, oh yeah, man, you don't want wood? Would somebody actually think that a builder?
Well, I think it was onward and upward. Like, well, wood windows are 500 years old. Aluminum windows are 10 minutes old. So
they
one's old and one's brand new.
It must be better.
Must be better.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
Such a weird, weird way to think.
Yeah, we don't. I don't think we have that thought anymore. But
and what's crazy is now we do have metal windows that are worth a shit. You know what I mean? We wouldn't choose them,
right.
But at least they work. You know, they don't fall apart in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And yet we still we wouldn't have accepted it. Even if we're looking for a metal window now, we would not have accepted what we were routinely putting in then because they were such shit.
All right.
It's weird.
Drew, I'm not as obsessed about this. Larry.
Yes, good morning.
44, Las Vegas.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I actually have a question on grit. My son had 4 strokes last year, so he's kind of limited on the sports he can play.
From what?
Well, he had a vertebral artery dissection in his neck.
Oh, my God, is that rare. Just a congenital thing, or did he have an injury?
No injury. We don't know where it came from. We're actually currently working with some doctors at UCLA to try to figure out what caused it.
Do they think congenital, or do they think some sort of inflammatory process?
Congenital.
That just means you're born with it?
Yeah, and vertebral arteries are things that go up alongside your neck. They go through the vertebra of your neck, and they end up in something called the circle of Willis, which supplies a lot of the blood to the deep structures in the brain, the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Where were his strokes?
Both right and left.
Where?
The damage is, I don't actually know the names of the areas, but two were in the back and then one was on the top.
Hold on a second. This is very sad, but how'd the jack-off survey go? I'm curious what the crew's up to.
There's only 3 of us here right now. Matt was on the phone. I'll go take another look.
Oh, thank you.
Where are you two at? You in the porn or are you watching the porn?
I'm watching.
Chris?
I could do both. Director or star.
Can I talk to Jack, please? So Larry, you need to talk to Larry.
You're in?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I just watch.
Oh, you just watch, Larry? Thank you.
Thank you. And so by the back of the brain, he means the visual area. So he has some visual problems, right?
A little bit, yes.
Yeah. And then the top is sort of more motor, sort of sensory kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or nothing. He may not even notice it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He actually had, is it aphasia when you can't speak?
Aphasia, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Aphasia. So that's more side.
Yeah, that.
Side top.
And that he actually worked through. And he really doesn't have any physical limitations right now. He's got his balance and his motor skills back. Most of it now is just mental that we're working with.
See, I would think you'd want him in some kind of a skill sport, you know, tennis or something with no collision, something with no
exactly.
falls.
He can't have collisions.
He can't have falls. So it's something where
you can exert yourself
yes.
as much as you like.
Yeah, I would think.
Well,
and you can't.
That's
really.
The thing that worries. I wouldn't think you could exert yourself.
You can't bear down. You wouldn't.
right. No power lifting.
Yeah, but no, at the same time, no sprinting.
Well, you know? Larry, good news. How old is he?
7.
7. Wow. Okay. By the way,
that is good news. A lot of resiliency in the brain at that age. That's good.
The question initially was, how do you build grit? What's a grit building sport? By the way, make a note. But I showed my son and daughter. My wife did. They watch Rudy last night. And my son's just sort of watching, and the guy's huddling around. And why do they want the little? And I said, that's football. Yeah. That's teamwork. Yeah. That's dedication. He's so little, yes, but he never gave up. He never quit.
And the team supported him.
Yes, and they respected his work ethic, even if they knew he couldn't contribute on the field. And they're like, they're starting it's my kids, it's also my wife, which I'm trying to get her to get football.
Wow.
Like what I'm trying to say is, do you see this guy? That's because of football. Do you see the guy
pointing at you?
I'm pointing at me. I'm saying the guy who soldiers on, the guy who doesn't get sick, the guy who doesn't get hurt, the guy who doesn't stop, the guy who does eight projects, that's because of football.
No, I know. I understand because I'm a little bit the same way. Football is important for me.
All right. So here's what I was thinking as I was seeing Larry wanted something to build some grit on without the contact. Ironically, stroke, swimming.
Yeah.
And the reason I say swimming is there's two ways you can build, to me, you can build grit. And one is a sprint and the other is a marathon.
Yeah.
There's a sprint kind of grit version, which is like wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's a marathon, which is swimming.
Yeah.
Or something where you just go, I have to put my boredom aside.
Yeah.
It's not even, it's tedium.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not even like.
And misery. You're sort of miserably.
Yeah, right. You know. It's not, oh my God, this guy's pinning my arm and it's killing me. Yeah. Or, oh my God, I'm on my fifth rep of 220 and my arms are shaking. Yeah. It's not that. It's like, I'm going to go in this pool and I'm going to go back and forth for 2 hours.
And 1 hour of it, it's going to feel like hell. And be boring.
No.
And be boring.
But it's all going to feel like hell. But I mean, it's never going to be that point where it's like, oh, I hurt, I burned.
It's also, by the way, 5 a.m, cold, jumping in the pool.
Right.
Being there with a bunch of other people, too.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to beat myself.
Yeah.
I'm going to beat myself into submission.
I think that's very good. That's a great note.
There's nothing. That feeling, like I said, we can all do that. I'm going to get down and do 50 push-ups right now, but that's really over in about a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Or that part where you just go, I am going to fucking get in this pool, and I'm not getting out for 2 hours from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. every morning. And if you think about that mindset of just – and every time you do a lap, you think, God damn, I want to get out and get some cocoa right now. And you just go, fuck it, I'm doing another lap.
Well, it's really interesting. I was listening to a magician on NPR last night. Do you ever think those words come out of my mouth? And so,
no, but I feel the same way about them as I feel about
well here's what he was saying.
It's musicians. Another,
yeah, right. I was thinking musicians, and I thought of this thing. Musicians, and I would argue academics has a exact same phenomenology attached to it. But be that as it may, I was listening to this musician, and he was saying how—
But you're not moving.
Hold on. He goes, people are like, oh, my God, you practice 10 hours a day every day. Oh, my God. He goes, look, I enjoy – that's not – it's not work for me. I enjoy it. He goes, the work was practicing on another level, being constantly aware. It's not the rote. It's being aware, constantly focusing on being better every minute, every repetition, not just doing the reps, but thinking, I got to do better. I got to be better. I got to adjust. What am I doing? And having that focus, that's the transcendent experience.
Well – speaking of that,
stamps.com?
No. Oh, yeah.
All right. Good. Stamps.com. That's transcendent.
Let me do it. All right. Then I'll tell you about.
It's stamps.com, bitch.
Minor achievement.
All right. Stamps.com. Special discounts you can't get at the post office, and an ease that you can't get at the post office, and never pay full price against for postage, and never go to the post office because you can buy and print official U.S. postage right from your desk, any letter, any package, any class of mail. Come on now. It's trips to the post office are never fun. Use stamps.com.
Well, my mom did not envision going to the post office in 2015. That's for damn sure.
That's right. Well, so you're going to ride in your Jetson mobile.
Yes.
Get this special offer when you use our promo code ADS, Adam Drew Show, ADS, no risk trial, $110 bonus offer, includes a digital scale. So you can determine precise postage for any given letter or package, then print it right up on your printer from your own computer, and you'll be given up to $55 of free postage. insane. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click the microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in ADS. That is stamps.com. ADS.
So I locked my film yesterday.
Okay.
It's locked.
It's print.
It's done.
Yeah.
It's done. Now, people go, well, I thought it was done a month ago. No. You keep watching it. You keep fixing color correction. You keep doing things digitally to it.
How do you know the color stuff? You know, how do you – does somebody
– Some of it is you – some of it is just you literally go, wow – your face looks so red in this scene, or so bright,
it's different
whatever.
From previous scenes.
Yeah. Some of it's that. Some of it is I had a crumb on my lip for this one part of the scene. I don't know why there was a crumb or nugget or something. I digitally get rid of it. Yeah. The other part is a sound thing.
What did they do in the old days to reshoot
Jesus, I don't know. The other part is sliding dialogue around and putting words in people's mouths and blah, blah, blah. But at a certain point, you can – I'll tell you, it's funny. If you do it for a living, or if you do go through the process enough, when you watch movies
– you notice all that, I'm sure.
Well, what you'll notice – you don't notice if a crumb was removed digitally because there's no trace of it. But what you'll notice is you'll notice little things like – when they're on the back of somebody's head and they put some words in their mouth real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
And you'll notice it's never, hi, how you doing? We don't need that.
It's story elements.
What'll be in the back of the head is, you're my brother.
Yeah.
And then it'll come back and the guy will go, and I love you, man. Yeah. But they got that part. They forgot the brother part. It's funny. I was watching, for no reason, I was watching that Jennifer Aniston movie, Meet the Millers, I think, or We're the Millers or something. And it's, fair to middle, and it's not very good or whatever. But at a certain point, that when they're hiring the young boy to come on, they're hiring the young boy, and he's like, I can do it. I'm old enough. I can, I'm strong. I can do it. And they went around to the guy's back of the kid's head, and he was like, I'm 18. I can do it. And I went, okay, somebody saw this and said, we can't have a minor running drugs.
Right.
You understand? We can't have a minor going to Mexico to buy heroin. And so somebody went, oh, shit, we got to get him in.
Yeah.
He needs to loop this line and say, I'm 18. And when we're on the back of his head, and then get to... Well, then we'll move forward. So he goes like, I'm 18. I'm a big boy. I can do it. And it's like some studio exec or some lawyer or somebody said, people are going to freak out if they think you brought a 15-year-old to go.
Yep.
There you go. But you'll notice little things. So locked, done, and no changes. And so I came home last night and I said to my wife, I said, it's done. It's locked. I mean, I remember where I was when I thought about writing the movie, had the first idea for it, and then the fundraising stuff and the blah, 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 blah. And she went, that must be so exciting. And I do what I always do, which is it's exciting is when you walk out front and there's a big bow on top of a Lexus where you go, woo!
Yeah.
I said, this is not exciting. Yeah. And the reason, I'm not being a douche, but what I'm saying is when you're with it every single step of the way, this is you building the Lexus part by part. You don't go, woohoo, at the end. You do in movies. In real life, everyone's tired, and they just go home. I just looked at the guy, Nate, and I just went, well, it's locked. And he said, congratulations. And I said, you too. And then I said, I just walked out of the room. You're done. Yeah. You couldn't be less excited about this thing because, in a sense.
And not only that, you got a distribution, a promotion.
Well, you have to start more work on it. But the point is, there is. I think people use that word and graft that word onto other people and their experiences, and I wish they didn't.
It's a little bit you and me too, though, because we got a weird like we oh if people other people might celebrate getting a cool job, we would not. We would
no,
just go,
it no, is this. It is you and I, but it's also the people that do it.
Yeah,
meaning this guy I went through it with, every frame. Every session, every piece of paperwork and post house and blah, 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 and all the shit. I mean, it's just never ending. Oh, you want Bryan Cranston in the poster where he's auditioning for the scene. Well, he's in New Orleans. Oh, go, we got to get a picture of him. Then we got to get that place to graph on the thing and make the poster and do the composite. I mean, it's all one big, boring, long, arduous, whatever. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, for the people that do it, it's never, yeah, we're done. That's an outsider's view of it.
Yeah, I know.
For those who do it, it's a deep sense of satisfaction. And it's more I just put on a bunch of bone density when it comes to getting shit done.
Yeah.
Very slowly grew those bones in terms of getting shit done because this is a very long process. But it's never a fist pump moment. That's a home run. That's a bow on top of the Lexus. That's spontaneous. That's 10 seconds ago, this wasn't happening. Now it's happened.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
This is about 2 years in.
Yeah.
And arguably better than exciting.
Healthier. Yeah.
It
grows things.
Satisfying.
Satisfying.
No, satisfying, but it grows stuff.
Excited is sort of empty calories.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's... You know, the big catch and you jumping up and down and exciting, you know, at the Super Bowl, except for you didn't get anything out of it. It's fun. There's a place for it. But don't – here's what I want to say to everybody. Don't label that shit exciting. I don't know. My poor wife's like, Jesus, just trying to be nice.
You were launching a one-hour diatribe.
No, what I'm saying is don't label that shit exciting. Yeah, and I'll tell you why. It's not. And you shouldn't mistake it for it. And it's not much fun. So don't think of it in those terms.
Yeah.
Think in terms of satisfaction.
What I'm
saying, and here's what I mean.
My God, it's exciting.
If you're looking to be excited by that process or by any meaningful process, really, you won't.
Yeah.
And you may not engage in it. Because it's not going to be exciting. It transcends excitement.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. Look for that. Saying don't run from that. Look for it like Rudy did.
Yeah. I agree.
That feeling of I'm going to practice harder than anyone on this team and never play a down. Doesn't sound exciting to me.
Right.
Scoring a touchdown sounds exciting.
But as you said, it grows bone.
Grows bone. Mass. All right. Let's see. Let's take a call real quick. Josh Boulder, 36. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Hi, Dr. Drew. Hi, Adam.
Hey.
I was wondering, I heard you talk about Howard Stern, about how he meditates and you seem to be interested in it. I was wondering if you ever have done it or ever tried it. I've written on it and practiced it. And I was just wondering if you were interested in it.
You mean talking about specifically transcendental meditation, which is what Howard does?
I'm sure he does transcendental meditation. I mean, all good meditation should be transcendental, if that makes sense.
I don't know what the difference between that.
Well, transcendental meditation, TM, I think it was Maharishi who did transcendental meditation.
Yeah, I got it. But what's different about it in its act?
Well, there's no guru. I mean, the problem with a lot of meditation is you say you either have to get into a religion like Buddhism or you have to accept someone as your guru. And actually, that's not the right way to do it. And I know you would never be someone who would do something like that.
Oh, that's traditional meditation?
Well, now, Josh, you're more talking about mindfulness now, right? Mindful meditation?
I'm just talking about actually true meditation, which seems to be no one, you know, understands. I mean, I've read on...
All right. How long should one meditate a day, in your estimation, Josh?
Well, first, what are we meditating on? I mean, when you drive a car, you're meditating on the road, right? So that's a form of meditation, or you're meditating on the sound of my voice or whatever. The idea of meditation is you meditate on a witness within that perceives everything that goes on during your day, okay? And it also perceives whatever dreams you had at night. This witness is described from ancient, you know, Indian yoga texts as being consciousness, pure consciousness, without any sort of attribute, you know,
right.
Completely pure. It just witnesses everything. It remains detached from everything it witnesses as well. So you find that within yourself, and you sit, and you have an amazing ability to actually watch that witness. Even though it sounds paradoxical or impossible, you can actually sort of formulate this idea of a seer within yourself that's not attached to anything,
Josh, hold on, let me jump in for a second.
Is that the Purushka?
Yeah, exactly. That's the Purusha, or this, you know, in right. Indian philosophy.
All right.
Okay. Josh.
Go ahead. Sorry.
It's all right.
Yeah, go ahead.
I personally, because of my hypervigilance.
You're already doing that.
No, I would need to put myself in a chamber.
Yeah.
Because,
okay. Well,
hold on. I swear to fucking Christ, the leaf blowers.
Yeah.
I would start to meditate, and then I would hear the fucking leaf blower going across the street, and I would start getting angry. I still, to this fucking day, when we've discovered something called third-hand smoke, don't know why it's not legal or illegal to blow all this shit all over the ground, the particulates, just the fucking alone, just blow all the shit that's on the ground, the pesticides, vulcanized rubber, and whatever else,
fungus,
spores and fungus, and just fucking make it go airborne, and then you have to ride your bike through it or drive your car through this dust cloud that's constantly being put up in the air in a place where if you fucking smoke, you can't stand in front of the restaurant. You have to walk down the fucking street to smoke a cigar.
Yeah.
Why aren't these things fucking illegal? But either way.
Because it's not conducted by the man.
Right. You'd have to tell the brown people and not the blue-eyed devil. Either way, I cannot sit and do that. So I would have to put myself into a chamber.
Yeah.
A place. Yeah. I would have to block out.
People do that. I mean, okay. Joe Rogan puts himself in a sensory deprivation chamber.
Yes, I'd have to do that, Josh.
Okay, so can I say something on that?
Yes.
Basically, all right, so I'm a big fan, a huge fan of the show, and I've heard you say that you like to take naps. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay, so here's a way to meditate. When you take your nap, and you're like seconds within going off into annihilation, just never, never land, which I'm sure you sleep very deeply.
No,
so no, Jesus, no.
Oh, no, you don't. Okay, fine.
You don't need
a sensory deprivation tank because actually you're just going in there. You're not really doing good meditation. You should meditate while the leaf blower is functioning. Otherwise, you're not going to get any benefit from it because if you don't want agitation in life. You're trying to meditate. So you
it's
going to
draw focus. It's going to suck me into it.
I'll tell you what I do.
I can't push it out.
The closest thing I do to meditation, and again, I'm a big fan of mindfulness, and I've seen people, and this Duncan Trussell I mentioned is a guy that's into that stuff. But I work out on a regular basis or run, and I listen to lectures when I do that. And I swear I'm in another place when I'm doing that. I'm really focused. I'm focused on physically what I'm doing. I'm listening deeply in what's going on in that lecture. And to me, that's my meditation.
Well, I think that's the point. And look, we'd all be better if we meditated. There's no doubt about it. But the point is this. Whatever it is that's your zen, for me, it's building things.
Yeah.
It's just sort of just a quiet, just getting stuff done. And then, yes, I, or like I said, just sitting. And maybe it sounds like a cop-out. I don't know. Sitting in a dark screening room and just sort of listening to the soundtrack of this movie and whatever and tweaking things. That's what you're focused on.
At least a meditative focus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what you should meditate on. LifeLock Ultimate Plus. You got to have it. I have it. Drew has it. Someone's going to steal your identity. No one's going to come up and bonk you on the head and steal your wallet anymore.
Why should they? They don't have to.
Nothing in it. Yeah. They just need your identity. I mean, they could steal the credit cards out of your wallet, or they could just steal your Social Security number and do it all from the safety and warmth of their apartment in China or Russia or wherever all this
Miami.
Stuff, Korea, wherever, Miami, wherever this stuff is going on. It's 2000, what did we figure out, 15?
The end of the world.
My mom says you need LifeLock Ultimate Plus. LifeLock, Drew.
You don't need to change your life. You just need to help protect yourself with LifeLock Ultimate. Visit LifeLock.com. Enter promo code Drew, D-R-E-W, to save 10% on your LifeLock Ultimate membership. That's promo code Drew at LifeLock.com to get our special 10% discount. Network does not cover all transactions.
All right. Dan, 23, Pittsburgh.
Hey, Adam and Drew, what's up?
Hey now.
What's up, man?
So America used to make these really awesome inventions, you know. In 1961, we made a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier. That's crazy. But we don't do it anymore, you know. And I'll tell you why. I think I know why, and I want to know what you think about it.
Okay.
Three big ones.
Uh-huh.
Calculators. Make us lazy. What do you think?
Well, look, any invention we make is to make our lives, I mean, not any invention, but most all inventions are there to make things easier.
Or to kill people.
Or to kill people. like a washing machine.
Yeah.
You know, okay, we didn't have a washing machine. So the notion when the dishwasher and the washing machines and all that stuff was like, finally, the lady of the house was going to be freed up to
leisure.
Yeah, they'd show, you know, the ads would show the, you know, washing machine going on in the background, and the missus would be reading her magazine. Well, that's not what happened. Yeah. Everything just sped everything up.
Yeah.
Okay, so now it's the exact same thing you do, you know, it's with our career. You said, like, imagine in the old days, you had to there cut the film, tape the film together, physically do all this stuff. It was laborious. It was difficult. All right. So what do we do now? Everything's digital. So what happens? I'm not freed up for leisure.
No.
I'm freed up just to tell the digital guy, hey, get your computer out and click your mouse a few times. I'll start working on this other project while you're doing that instead of sitting there and cutting and taping and doing all that stuff.
It frees you up to do more. Not leisure more. Work more.
Right. And so as far as the calculator goes, it's really a dishwasher for numbers, if you think about it.
Yeah.
All it did is speed everything up, and now the time it took you to do this long division had been crunched down, now you can do more.
Well, and what it leads you towards is away from arithmetic and more into math, which is you know, abstractions and functions and theories and sets and this kind of thing.
Yeah, but I don't think I'll put it to you this way. I'll offer this simple challenge to Dan, who thinks the calculators are leading to people not using their brains.
No, they just use a slide rule, for Christ's fucking sake. Because there's stuff you couldn't calculate with your brain. You'd have to use some kind of instrument.
No, I have a simple challenge.
Do you know what a slide rule is?
Yeah, I do know what a slide rule is. I don't know how to use one. Yeah. Me and Paul Simon don't know how to use one. Oh, no, wait, James Taylor. Everyone's looking at me. Got to find the man. You got to find the song. Not Handyman. I'll figure it out. Drew, you can feel free to talk for a second.
Well, that's so exciting. Think about James Taylor. Exciting thought.
What a wonderful world it would be.
Oh.
All right.
That's the name of that's the lyric?
I think the name of the song is What a Wonderful World It Would Be. I think it was covered. It was James Taylor.
Yeah.
I think he covered Handyman, too.
And he mentions a slide rule in it?
No.
I can't use a slide rule?
No. I think... No, here's my challenge. I know people who use calculators, and I know people who don't use calculators.
Yeah.
The people who use the calculators are much smarter than the ones that don't.
Right.
Because they're picking up this device and they're trying to figure this gross versus net versus
Right. Well, they're using it to problem solve rather than just computate numbers. And the problem may be a very complex biological process or something. You know, there's all sorts of things. I'd say one area where it's bizarre to me that in addition to building, I guess, where we move forward into the 70s, it actually was a backwards moment, shaving. It's another area.
Oh.
Another area. Now we put petroleum on our face. What?
No, we put, and foam.
Yeah, foam and petroleum.
Foam and gels. No. No, you need Cremo. It is slick. It is foam-free. It comes in a tube. We use it. It's beautiful. It's shave cream, not shave foam or shaving mousse.
Cream. It's right there in the name.
Shave cream.
Shave petroleum gel.
It's just any razor. It's going to glide effortlessly across your beautiful beard. And if you have sensitive skin, that much better. No bumps, no burn, no irritation. You want a better shave? Let's upgrade, people. What the can of foam. You know what the worst part is? You can really tell what the foam is made out of, because what the foam does is when it's done, it has a little spittle at the end that hangs out.
Yes.
And the next day you see it.
It's always there.
And it looks like an abandoned hive.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of weird and crackly, and you can light passes through it. Yeah. No. Not for you. Let's get the Cremo. You can get it at the Walmart. You get it at the Target, the Walgreens. CVS, at Red Cap, White Tube, Crema.
All right.
Now I need this song. I need this song.
Don't know much
about history. Is that it? James Taylor? Yeah. Don't know much biology. With Simon and Garfunkel. Jeez. Listen. Don't know much about the French eye. Coming. Remember this song?
Oh, yeah. I don't remember Slide Rule.
78. Oh, there's been a few. This is a different version than the original version.
I recognize that.
Just listen up. Don't know much about geography. By the way, we get it. You're fucking retarded. Don't know much trigonometry. Don't know much about it. Listen. I don't know what a slide rule is for. Woo! Thank you.
Wow.
That's how my fucking brain works, bitches. I pull out the one fucking song where they sing about not knowing what a slide rule does. And I fucking push it in your face.
Oh, God.
All right. Any credit at all, Drew, or just
I think that's pretty remarkable that you came up with it, because I knew that song well, and I would not have picked that word, that and yet it was sort of pronounced in the song.
Well, if you want to know how my brain works, I don't remember people's names, but there I do remember lyrics and what slide rulers are and aren't for. All right. My book, President Me, coming out in paperback as we speak. So go out and hop on Amazon and show us a little love. Go to AdamandDrDrewShow.com and click on the Amazon banner. Hit a little PayPal. Put a little good juju. Keep that pirate ship afloat. Irvine Improv, Thursday, February 12th, 8 o'clock. Pasadena Ice House coming up on Tuesday, the 24th.
I'm going to try to come to that one, the 24th. And I've got,
Pasadena.
Hollywood Improv, January 31st, me and Mike Carano.
Yeah. And I would strongly recommend people to listen to Take a Knee. Terry Crews, un-goddamn believable on that show. And you just go to AdamCarolla.com/archive. And Sonny's got a new ringtone. Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. You know what's funny is there's a great feud going on in the house because his ringtones make money and Natalia doesn't have one, and he thinks I owe him $8,000.
You do, probably.
No, I do not. Okay. But let's have some more fun with the Corollas. Are you kidding me?
Me.
All right, go ahead.
Are you kidding me?
So until next time, Sam Crawford, Dr. Drew, Chris Max, Pat, and Gary Heftard. Sam, mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.